EV71 or Enterovirus 71. This is the identity of the virus killing children in Cambodia. And to date, more than 60 children have already died in this epidemic in Cambodia. We are watching a few cases here, and at least one has been monitored to be a weaker version of this virus locally. And happily, it did not end in a fatality, but it is proving something which is a common observation. Children are the most vulnerable to physical diseases. Ang mga bata ang pinakamarupok sa mga sakit. At ito ay dahilan sa ang kanilang katawan ay wala pang maturidad, hindi pa naroon sa kaunlaran ng kanyang mga sistemang pangangatawan, kung kaya't mas malik, mas mahina ang kanyang resistensya pagdating sa atake ng mga sakit. Now, what is true physically is also true on the spiritual level. The immature spiritually are a lot more vulnerable to attacks. And this is the reason why we cannot treat the issue of maturity as merely optional for the believer. One of the tragic legacies of decisionism has been to make people be satisfied with the mere thought of going to heaven without pressing on to maturity. And to the Christian, that is not an option. Hindi ito isang bagay na pwede o hindi pwede, kundi ang maturidad ay isang napakahalagang bagay na dapat hanapin ng isang mananampalataya. Hindi siya magkasya lamang na kanyang tinitiyak ang sarili niyang siya'y pupunta sa langit kapag siya'y namatay, hanggang doon na lamang. Ang tunay na ligtas, ang tunay na mananampalataya ay naghahanap ng kaunlaran at ng paglago sa kanyang buhay ng pananampalataya. And Apostle Paul, in his dealing with the Corinthian church in our series, is demonstrating what maturity is as he deals with the immature of the Corinthian church. And that includes dealing with his opponents in Corinth. These opponents he called the super apostles. And in contrast with them, we saw how Paul describes himself as a true apostle. And in that clash, we will be challenged oftentimes to demonstrate our maturity. Maturity very often is choosing between what is true and what is super. Kung ano yung totoo laban sa maganda, magaling, at ang kalimitan na ipinapakita ng kulang sa maturidad ay pinipili niya yung maganda sa pakiramdam, magaling at kahanga-hanga, sa halip na ang kanyang paninimbang ay sa usapin ng ano ang katotohanan, ano ang talagang totoo. And so we said that the mature stands on genuine apostolic authority, not on authoritative personality. You don't decide issues on the basis of what is super, but rather on the basis of what is true based on apostolic word. And that holds true of the church. We saw that last week. A mature church esteems its real favor in the ministry of the apostolic word. Our favor as a church is not in terms of wealth, influence, whether that's political, material, or otherwise. The favor of the church is when there is a faithful ministry of the apostolic word. Now, Apostle Paul addresses the church in quite very personal and poignant language as their teacher. And I invite you now to turn your Bibles to just two verses for our text this afternoon, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 14 and 15. Here, for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and will not be a burden, for I seek what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Now, Paul says here that he is preparing for a third visit. Ito na yung ikatlo niyang pagdalaw, naghahanda siya. Now, just to put this in context, the first visit of Paul to Corinth is recorded in Acts 18. And the result of that first visit was the founding of the church in Corinth. And then he made a second visit. This is the visit that he described in 2 Corinthians as a sorrowful or painful visit, because this second visit ended up in a very painful confrontation between Paul and the church in Corinth as they were led by the opponents, the super apostles. And one result of that painful visit was his letter, which he called in 2 Corinthians a severe letter. Now, that severe letter is no longer extant, wala na sa atin, yung severe letter na sinasabi ni Apostle Paul, but he sent the severe letter in the hand of Titus to the Corinthian church, and the result of that severe letter was that the majority of the church repented. Sila'y nagsisi sa kanilang ginawa kay Apostle Pablo, but a small minority, and that's the super apostles, were still adamant in their opposition to the apostle. And that explains now our 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians has two sections, as we saw. The Gentile part from chapters 1 to 9 is for those members in Corinth who were repentant about their sin. While the second part, which is our series, chapters 10 to 13, predominantly is sharp, intense, rebuking, because this is the part that is for the super apostles, the adamant oppositionists in the church in Corinth. But by this verse, or by the text that we read, Paul comes back to the whole church. And his language, as I said, is very personal, very poignant. He explains his disposition to the church. It is as it were, he opens up his heart to reveal the spirit of his ministry. Naging personal dito si Apostle Pablo, binubuksan niya ang kanyang puso para ipakita sa mga taga-Korinto ano ang kanyang diwa para sa kanila. And let me put the message in this way. A mature ministry defines its service as self-denying, patterned after Christ. Ang ministeryong may maturidad ay tumatanggi sa sarili, katulad ng Panginoong Hesukristo. A mature ministry defines its service as self-denying, patterned after Christ. Now, if you were to describe someone's ministry, we might prefer to use other adjectives. We might describe someone's ministry as fruitful, and we would like that. Powerful or skillful. And we can think of many adjectives that may fit a ministry one way or the other. But when Paul explains his service here in our text, he uses words and figures that can only be tied together by this description, self-denying. Ang paglilingkod ni Apostol Pablo ay pagtanggi sa kanyang sarili. How does he show this? He deliberately resolves in his mind that his service to the Corinthian church will be marked by two contrasts. What are those two contrasts? First, giving, not getting. Ang unang pagsasalungat, pagbibigay, hindi pagkakamit. And secondly, loving though unloved. Nagmamahal kahit hindi minamahal. Sa dalawang pagsasalungat na yan, ipinapakita ni Pablo yung serbisyo o paglilingkod na tumatanggi sa sarili. Unang-una, we see here, giving, not getting. That's how Paul defines his ministry. It is a ministry of giving, not getting from the Corinthian church. In this third visit, Paul resolves this, I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. And then he uses the figure of the parent-child relationship. Ginamit niya yung larawan ng magulang at ng anak at ang sinabi niya, hindi ang anak ang nag-iimpok para sa magulang ang nag-iimpok para sa kanyang anak. At hindi siya nag-iisip ng kapalit. It is the parent who saves up for the child, saves up for his education, saves up for his future, and he does not think of any return. And that is how Paul sees his ministry to the Corinthian church. The parent does not look at his child as an investment for the future. Now, let me make myself clear. This is not saying that children have no duty to look after their parents in their old age. The Bible has something to say about that. But this is not the parent's goal. The parent's goal is not saving up so that he may have a comfortable retirement age. No mature parent would ever think that. The parent gives not for what he could get from the child, but rather out of love, duty, obligation. And that's how Paul sees his ministry to the Corinthian church. And that's how we are to understand what mature service is. Mature service is not self-demanding, but self-giving for the sake of the good of the people we serve. Yung paglilingkod ng may maturidad, hindi nagahangad ng para sa sarili, kundi nagbibigay para sa ikabubuti ng kanyang pinaglilingkuran. This is patterned after Christ. Remember the words of Christ in Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered, but to minister. That is, not to be served, but to serve and to give. When our service is patterned after Christ, service is defined as giving, not getting. If we will serve with this Christ-like maturity, we must define our service as not getting, but giving. And here Paul says, "For I do not seek yours, but you." Another way of putting it is, I am after your good, not your goods. Hinahanap ko inyong ikabubuti, hindi ang inyong mga tinatangkilik. Ganyan ang tingin ni Pablo sa kanyang ministeryo. He is after the good of the people he serves, never their goods. A more straightforward way of saying this is, Paul is saying here, I am not after your money. Now, I already explained that this is not a prohibition on the church financially supporting its minister. That duty is clear and mandated by the nature of the ministry, dictated by the church's esteem for the word of God. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, "Let the one who is taught the word share in all good things with the one who teaches." And I can say that this church is observing that mandate. However, the Corinthian church was an immature church when Apostle Paul was serving it. And because of the immaturity of the Corinthian church, and because Paul refused to put himself in the category of his opponents, the super apostles, he made it a policy not to receive anything from Corinth. And in this matter then, Paul saw that this was the way he could give himself to the Corinthian church, refuse their money. And this was also one way for Paul to expose the super apostles for the charlatans that they were. Pinapakita niya na sila ay para lang sa kanilang pera. Yan ang naging pasya ni Apostle Paul. I imagine Paul must have thought of this many a tearful night when he would pray for the Corinthian church. He must have thought, what would it mean for me to give myself to these immature people? What will be good for them? And he hit on this idea that the way to do them good is to refuse any support from them. And he puts it in a rather straightforward way. I will not be burdensome to you. Parang sinasabi niya, huwag kayong mag-alala, hindi ako magiging pabigat sa inyo. Sa pagsasabi niya ng ganyan, ay binubunyag niya ang maling saloobin ng mga taga-Korinto na sa halip na tingnan nila na isang pabor sa kanila na merong salitang mula sa apostol, inaari pa nila itong kabigatan. Kaya parang sabi ni Pablo, o sige, pagdalaw ko rin, hindi ako magiging pabigat sa inyo. What in fact was their privilege, because of immaturity, they considered burdensome to support. And therefore, the decision of Paul was to refuse any monetary support, any practical support from the Corinthian church. It will prove painful to them, but this was the way to do them good as Paul saw it. The need to be self-denying is what Paul is demonstrating here. Now, so too of us. If we are serving, there will be those nights and days, we would think, how can I give myself to the people I serve out of self-giving, seeking their good? Now, the writer Alexander Dumas has given to us the immortal Three Musketeers. And the slogan of the Three Musketeers was all for one, one for all. Now that is cute, but that is not quite like it in self-denying ministry. In a self-denying ministry, oftentimes it will be one for all, even if none for one. Are you prepared for that? Now let me make my challenge personal by a question. What am I giving without getting? Anong aking ibinibigay na walang tinatanggap? And Apostle Paul, throughout his letters, demonstrates his appreciation of the Christ-like beauty of that service that gives in self-denial, even when not required. You remember how he commended the Philippian church because of their gift. And the Philippian church, by the way, is neighbor to Corinth. The Philippian church was also a church in Macedonia, just like Corinth. And Paul commends the Philippian church in chapter 4, verse 14, "It was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." In other words, Paul is appreciating the unexpected gesture of the church. And a few verses later, see how in superlative expression, Paul will describe that gift in 4:18. "I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." Ginamit niya yung bokabularyo ng hain. Handog sa Diyos, isang mabangong samyo sa Diyos, katanggap-tanggap sa kanyang harapan. Ganito na papahalagahan ni Apostol Pablo yung uri ng paglilingkod kahit hindi inaasahan. And let it come back to us. What am I giving without expecting a return? You see, when we do this, it will stand out in a generation and culture defined by the question, what do I get out of it? Kapag ginagampanan natin ang pagtanggi sa sarili, titingkad yan sa kultura na ang lagi na lang tinatanong ay anong mapapala ko riyan. Ganyan ang diwa ng ating panahon. Kung may gagawin, anong babalik sa akin? Anong mapapala ko riyan? Ngunit hindi ganyan ang paglilingkod ni Jesucristo. At ang lingkod na susunod sa kanyang Panginoon ay kinakailangan may paglilingkod na handang magbigay ng walang kapalit. When Apostle Paul concluded his address to the elders of the Ephesian church gathered in an island called Miletus, Paul reminded them of the spirit with which his mission team conducted itself. By fulfilling the words of Jesus, he said in Acts 10:35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Mas mapinagpala ang nagbibigay kaysa sa tumatanggap. Hindi ba baligtad ng baligtad ang pag-iisip ng ating panahon? Pakinggan mo isang tao, pag may sinabi siyang may blessing ako, halos isa lang ang ibig niyang sabihin, may tinanggap ako. Blessing is almost always what is received. Whereas Paul, quoting from an oral tradition from Jesus, was saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have we been infected with the spirit of Jesus? Where do you know the blessedness of giving without a reciprocal receiving in return? Whether it is giving of your substance, of your time, when the person for whom you spend time would not spend time in return. Giving of your gift, of your company, of your kindness. I've told you many times in the past of Jonathan Edwards, how after 23 years of faithful ministry in his church in Northampton, New Jersey, he was excommunicated. It was an unjust and unfair excommunication because he was standing by the biblical principle of who were qualified to receive the Lord's Supper. Eh, yung mga tinamaan, nag-conspire sila para itiwalag ang isang tapat na mangangaral nila si Jonathan Edwards. But a story behind that story, years later, one of the instigators, Joseph Holly by name, wrote a letter of public confession. He owned his sin. He admitted it was a terrible sin. And what made it more terrible, one sentence of that letter said, "I had also received many instances of his," that is Edward's, "tenderness, goodness, and generosity to me as a young man." There's Edwards giving kindness, tenderness to a man who returned to him evil, but years later, that very gesture of self-denying giving haunted his conscience and did its work. And this is what is required of a self-denying ministry, to give without expecting to get something in return. Are you being restrained from giving something because of the thought that nothing will return? Well, let us be infected with the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of Paul. Self-denying ministry means giving without getting. And secondly, loving though unloved. Then listen to the words of Paul. "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." Poignant words. The ESV makes it a question. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? And that question shows that it was already happening. Meaning the Corinthians were not loving Paul in return, though Paul was showing and demonstrating increasing love. And what does that tell us of a mature ministry? The mature motive of love will lead to whatever sacrifice it takes to serve the good of the people we serve. Ang motibo ng pag-ibig ay handa sa lahat ng uri ng sakripisyo para sa paglilingkod sa ating mga pinaglilingkuran. Now, the note of sacrifice here is expressed in the language, "gladly spend and be spent for your souls." Now, it may well be that Paul is using the word "spend" with some literal sense because he is not accepting monetary support from Corinth. That means in this third visit, he will have to pay for his own travel and keeps. Gagastusan niya ang kanyang sarili and handa siyang gawin yun. And that is present in the word "spend." But let me explain, the word "be spent" is something else. It carries an intensifying prefix, and the better sense is that of expending. My favorite lexicon defines it as to do anything and everything to the limit of one's capacity. Another way of saying it is exhaust oneself and one's resources. Kaya sinasabi niya, hindi lang ako gagastos, gugugol, kundi ako mismo ay ginugugol. Now, we may ask, what is it that has called forth Paul's readiness to any sacrifices out of love? Because he saw what was at stake. Listen again how he put it. "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls." This is the only place in 2 Corinthians that the word "soul" occurs. And I don't think we can interpret this to simply mean life in general, as sometimes the word "soul" is used. I think we should interpret this in that strict sense of that part of man which will perpetuate way beyond physical life. your soul, which will be for eternity. Paul saw that. And when he saw that this was a matter for the soul, then mature love motivates its service to focus on the souls of those we serve. Think of it that way. Much of what we do in our ministries in this church, much of what you hear in the pulpit is about eternal souls. We are not after passing fences that will always prove temporary. We are after souls. Long after your body is gone, rotting in the soil of the earth, your soul still continues. And depending on your status before God in Christ, you are either in glory or in damnation. And that's the reason for the ministries of the church. That's the reason for the preaching of this pulpit. Your souls. Have you thought of your souls? And when you minister, in whatever capacity the Lord has called you to do, be after the soul. Be it a sinner needing salvation, a saint needing edification, think of the soul. And when you think of the soul and the great value of the soul, love, when it is mature, will be ready for all kinds of sacrifices. I mean, think of any love story. And part of what makes that love story beautiful is the sacrifice involved in it. Whether it is the epic saga of the Odyssey by Homer, you have the travels of Odysseus for 10 years just to be with his beloved Penelope, or the tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, who happened to be on opposite sides of feuding families, the Capulet and the Montague, leading to tragedy. But what gives any love story its beauty is the willingness of sacrifice. And the same is true with the beauty of love as a motive in Christian service. Sacrifice. Let me again make the challenge personal by putting it in question form. Who am I to love though unreturned? Sinong aking minamahal dapat mahalin kahit pa hindi ibalik ang pagmamahal na yun? Remember the response of Jesus to the rich young ruler? We are told in the version of Matthew and Mark, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Jesus loved the rich young ruler, even though when he challenged him, "One thing thou lackest," the young man turned his back. Which makes me recall what George Whitefield did when he was a guest in a house. His host proved very gracious, and Whitefield found himself unable to speak to him about the lostness of his soul. And what he did before he left on his last night was to engrave on the pane of a window the words, "One thing thou lackest." And when the host saw that after Whitefield has left, it led him to the passage, converted him. That window pane is still in a museum in England. You still see the engraving, "One thing thou lackest." But you see, where there is love, it is going to be enterprising. It will think of ways to reach out to the people we want to serve. Love cannot just leave the soul unattended without trying anything. Love will be inventive, and there will be such challenges to love when it is unreturned. It happens many times when you exercise one function of love, as we saw in our morning Sunday school, is rebuking, correcting. And the return you get is harsh return. That's a challenge to love. When our motive is not mature love, it will be so much easier to let go, to be indifferent. Why should I hurt myself trying to reach out to someone who obviously does not care? But mature love is for the unloving. It is caring for the uncaring. It is compassion for the hardened. And if for no other reason, think this, he is one soul. A soul who one day may cause rejoicing in heaven over his repentance. Or a soul who one day will be among the voices joining the chorus of the wailing and gnashing of teeth of the damned. One way or the other, this is precious soul. And no loving, mature parent can think of that of his dear child. No pastor can think of that of his congregation. And no Christian, if he is mature, should think that way of his brethren. Think of the soul. And that's where love will lead us to do. Love though unloved. One of Martin Luther's bitterest critics, though a reformer himself, was Andreas Karlstadt. Though they were friends before, they had a parting of ways because Martin Luther found Karlstadt too sweeping, too unwise, and tactless. But during a time of persecution, when Karlstadt was on the run, he could only think of one person who would give him shelter. And yes, that's Martin Luther. He went to Martin Luther, and Martin Luther, without saying anything, without any protest, gave shelter to a bitter critic. That's love. And in order to motivate that kind of love, I said it must be patterned after Christ. That's the love that Christ showers upon us. And as we come to our last hymn, we are reminded of what love we received from Christ. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. And we do praise the Lord that by his love he lifted us. Now let us hear the words, go and do likewise. Be mature in your ministry, in your service. Let it be a ministry of giving, not getting, and loving, though unloved. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay nga sanang maging hamon sa amin ang pag-ibig ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo na sa panahon na kami ay lugmok sa kasalanan, nalulubog sa kapahamakan, at maari niya kaming iniwanan na lamang ng may buong katarungan. Ngunit hindi niya ginawa ayon sa pag-ibig ng Ama at ayon sa kanyang pag-ibig. Siya ay namatay sa krus alang-alang sa amin, at sa pamamagitan nito kami ay iniligtas. Ngunit kasama ng kaligtasan, nag-iwan siya ng huwaran na dapat naming tularan sa aming paglilingkod. Ang paglilingkod na may pagtanggi sa sarili, nawa Panginoon mangusap ka sa mga sinumang naritong kailangan pa na makita sa kay Hesukristo ang tanging tagapagligtas sa pamamagitan ng kanyang kamatayan. But for us believers, help us to see beyond the issue of salvation is the model that Christ has patterned for us, that our ministry must be the kind of service defined by self-denial. As Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So may we learn to define our service as one of giving, and a giving that is not shaped and molded by the expectation of getting. So grant us that kind of ministry, and also the kind of ministry that is loving, though often unloved. And that too is the kind of love that Jesus has demonstrated. That is the kind of love that we are challenged to exercise. And one thing that this kind of love is able to see that many fail to see is that we are after souls. And may we think of the value of the soul. That long after the body is rotting in the grave, long after the name has been forgotten from the obituary, the soul is still existing, whether in glory or with the damned. And may the thought make us tremble and make us desire that we will serve so that the soul we are seeking to reach will be a soul whose repentance causes rejoicing in heaven rather than a soul whose voice will lend another tone of the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. So grant that we would have a mature ministry defined by love that reaches out to souls. And we thank you that in Jesus Christ you did the same to us. And may we now go and do likewise. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.